The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Well, we've all been, in relation to the lockdown, looking at a lot more Netflix material. And one of the documentaries that have caught national attention, well, international attention in recent months, is Tiger King. It follows the notorious big cat owner and exhibitor, Joseph, well, he became known as Exotic Joe. And quite the gentleman he was. Well, it got us thinking here on The Hard Shoulder about the exotic pet trade. And it's a pleasure now to welcome back to the programme Elisa Allen, director of PETA, P-E-T-A, UK, who have been writing about this issue. I haven't heard of anyone in this country having a tiger as a pet. What is the, how widespread is the exotic pet trade in say, the UK or Ireland?
You know, the private ownership of wild and dangerous animals has reached really epidemic proportions in the U.S., but also in the U.K. and in Ireland. When writing for the journal and researching this, I was really shocked to realize that there are no species of animals which are illegal to keep as a pet in Ireland. And that is really just mind-blowing that there's no legislation restricting the type of animals who a person can keep as a pet. You know, and I think you should think about that for a minute. You need more paperwork to own a car than you would to own a cheetah or a tiger or a venomous snake. It's very clear that the laws preventing people from keeping wild animals need to change, both for the animals themselves who suffer so greatly in captivity, but also for the sake of our community, because these are dangerous wild animals who should under no circumstances be ever kept.
Okay. I get your campaign, and we'll come back to the sort of content and the drive of that. But first of all, I ain't seen anybody walking, you know, down the street the way they would with their dog and their dog license and all the rest with a cheetah or even a monkey or a tiger. I mean, is there any of these in Ireland?
Yeah, there are. And this is part of the problem, that because there's no legislation, it's really hard to keep track of these animals. We know in Northern Ireland, for example, there's at least 40 wild animals who are kept in people's homes. These include tigers, wolves, and rattlesnakes. This is also an industry that's largely underground, and so it makes sense that you wouldn't necessarily, hopefully, see a tiger roaming down the street, but because it's done undercover. A lot of these animals are trafficked illegally, and that's really important to keep in mind, too. And of course, it just takes one. And when these animals get out and when they escape, and they often do, the consequences are devastating. Just off the top of my head, in recent years, I remember a story in Connecticut where a woman made This is in the U.S., where a woman made international headlines because her face was ripped off by her friend's pet chimpanzee. In another incident, there's a toddler who was strangled to death by her family's python. Another girl who was mauled by her father's pet tiger. I mean, they should really serve as a wake-up call to people that wild animals have no place in people's homes, and also that we need to work to implement legislation to prevent anyone from owning an animal and keeping that animal locked up in captivity.
But some of these, would the Irish climate, you know, we have an awful lot of rain. I mean, would it suit a lot of these kind of old foreign animals?
You know, unfortunately, although people who own these exotic, these wild animals, sometimes they have good intentions, the reality is that they can't adequately cope for the animals' complex needs. And you're right. I mean, a lot of these animals don't belong in Ireland at all. They belong in their native habitats in Africa or India. And what we see is that these animals, they often die prematurely. There's a study that recently came out for snakes. For most pet snakes, in the reptile industry, more than 3/4 of them die in their first year in the home. I think that's really, that fact is really indicative that these animals do not thrive in captivity. They don't thrive when they're kept in cages and small tanks and aquariums. They're really animals that belong in their natural habitat, and that's just something that often can't be replicated in someone's home.
Now, I see the ISPCA, which, you know, in this country, looks after the cruelty issues to animals. They've produced a table of abandoned animals or removed of an exotic species, and it includes a tortoise, a terrapins, snakes of various types, chinchilla, a parrot, lemur, salamander, a budgerigar, lovebirds. I don't know about those. And a natterjack toad. So what species are you most concerned about?
Really all of them. You know, our motto is that wild animals deserve to be free. And anyone who's thinking about bringing a pet, bringing a companion into their lives, into their families, of course they can do that. But we encourage them to go to their local shelters to adopt a cat or a dog, an animal that's much more suitable to their homes and to their lifestyle than any of the species that you currently named. In the U.S., we also see a whole host of animals being kept in captivity in the pet trade, particularly big cats, also bears, wolves, you know, really you name it. And as I say, for the animals, their life is absolutely devastating. If you take big cats, these are animals who naturally are born to hunt, to roam vast distances, to seek out mates. They can't do any of those things in captivity. They live a really bleak and diminished existence. And you mentioned at the beginning of this program, you mentioned Tiger King, the hit Netflix series, which I know a lot of people have seen. And I think that, you know, yes, it was a bit of an absurd documentary, but it did really shine a light on the scope of this industry and also the scope.
Yeah,
of
and
the
that's the interesting
that
point there. You said it was an industry. Is this trade in exotic animals actually commercially driven?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people are making vast amounts of money on this, and selling wildlife is one of the world's largest sources of criminal earnings, right behind arms smuggling and drug trafficking. You know, we saw that in Tiger King, that Joe Exotic, who you mentioned, he was breeding animals for financial gain. He bred hundreds, probably thousands of big cats, and he sold them, often illegally, to anyone who was willing to pay for them, with virtually no regard for their well-being. And that's what this comes down to. People who are participating in this industry, in this trade, they're not doing it because they care about animals. It is 100%.
They're doing it to make money. So what are you calling on the Irish government to do?
We want to see stricter regulations to prohibit people from being allowed to own wild and dangerous animals. In Ireland, and as is the case elsewhere, a lot of animal welfare laws, they do very little to protect animals. A lot of this legislation was drafted decades ago. Well, our understanding of animals has come such a long way since then, and we know that they just cannot thrive in captivity. Captivity is cruel to them. It results in premature death, and it's just quite simply not fair.
All right, there you have it. The obvious campaign is a lacuna in the law, which needs to be dealt with, that there are these exotic pets, there is a commercial trade for them, and as of now, you might have your moggy or your pussy or whatever, and it is subject to regulations, but domestic animals, not so much for the exotic pet trade. I hope our politicians are listening. My thanks to Elisa Allen, Director of PETA UK, for bringing that to our attention. We will await with interest the response from the Department of Agriculture. Thank you indeed for joining us, Elisa. Up next, let's get a news update from Eamon.